plate a potential nugget.
You know, in the book, you also talk about the work of Rob Gray, you know, who directs the Perception and Action Lab at Arizona State University. And you talk about this notion of unlearning, and you speak about action slips, you know, things that we sort of do by default, especially in a high-pressure environment. I was curious about, you know, in your pursuit towards learning these five new skills, what have you learned about unlearning? You know, you spoke about adults having that cognitive component about, you know, like you spoke about language. Kids just speak while we sort of try to look at how it fits in with the paradigms we have, etc. So what have you learned about unlearning effectively, especially when we are, you know, learning something new?
Yeah, it's a great question. And first of all, I'm not, you know, unlearning is a strange word. It's not something that is completely, you know, agreed upon in the scientific world or the literature, and whether unlearning is something distinct from simply learning a new thing is sort of I mean, semantically it makes sense, but whether it's an actually different process, I think is not known. But I, you know, it makes me think of an experiment I did which I didn't mention too much in the book, but as I mentioned, I was a keen cyclist. So I had heard about a guy who's a rocket scientist in Huntsville, Alabama. And he had this, was doing this little experiment with a backwards bicycle. And what I mean by that is that when you turn the handlebars left, the bike actually steers to the right. This is something that has been used at various carnivals in countries like England or America. And usually, you know, the person will offer you $5 or something if you can do it correctly, if you can succeed at riding this thing. So people, the punters go up and say, yeah, I can do that. And of course, then they lose their money. So, but to me, it was just a fascinating example of this unlearning, because I had many years of knowing how to ride a bike. That was burned into my brain. I could ride no-handed. I could ride, you know, doing something else. Didn't have to think about it at all. So I was under the mistaken impression that that would give me a leg up in trying to learn this variation on a bicycle, when in fact the opposite was actually true. It was probably harder for me to learn that new thing because I had so much of this previous, you know, sort of program running on my desktop that it was actually impossible for me to do more than simply sit on the bike. The moment I tried to move just a little bit, my whole internal sense of balance was thrown off, and I was basically falling. We did this on the grass because he actually knew that this would happen. So one of the points he made is that his children were actually able to learn it faster than he was, not necessarily because they're amazing geniuses, but because they've had less experience at riding a traditional bicycle. So they had less to unlearn. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really know that there's anything that different about unlearning it, that you sort of have to do it the hard way. I mean, my rocket scientist friend learned to ride it. It took him about 6 months, which is probably longer than it takes to learn to ride an actual bicycle. So, but you know, he just little daily bouts of practice. And I mean, there was sort of no secret beyond that. So I think, but to your point, there were moments teachers would give me particular tricks to sort of help me get past things that were, you know, sort of habits in a way that for example, when I was trying to sing, I would have trouble with a certain high note. And as the high note was approaching, this sent a signal to my brain that, oh my God, there's this high note coming. I started to panic. My body tensed up. I would sort of raise my neck like a giraffe to try to reach this high sound. All of those things were tremendously counterproductive toward actually producing that note. So my teacher would have me do this little sort of, you know, just a you know, kind of a corrective motion to, as the high note was approaching, to bend my knees and dip slightly down. And that just sort of, you know, for whatever reason, it worked. It made me stop thinking about the high note. I concentrated again instead on sort of dipping, going down, and counterintuitively, that actually made it easier to produce those high notes. So whether that was a form of unlearning, I'm not sure. But sometimes it's just a matter of disrupting a habit that you have, and those habits can be very hard to disrupt. But there are ways, and sometimes it just involves many months of practice. I don't know if you drove while you were, you're on the left side anyway, but you know, for a person going from a country that has right hand side drive to left hand side drive, it's the same idea.
No, I had this issue when I was when I first came to the US. We were going out for a team lunch when I was at McKinsey, and I remember telling them, let's take my car. And I got into my car with three colleagues, and suddenly I started having a conversation with them as I took the car out. And I think my Indian driving instincts came in, and for a good 10 seconds, I was on the wrong side of the road, and my colleagues sort of were nudging me, pointing to me, pointing fingers, and I wasn't really getting it. And then one of them had to forcibly, the guy sitting next to me forcibly took the wheel and moved me back to the lane. That's when I realized that, oops.
This goes back to what we were talking about earlier about, it's good when learning a motor skill to not think about it. I mean, this is a case with unlearning that actually is beneficial to think about it, because you need to override that existing behavior that is lurking within your body and actually pay some conscious attention. I would estimate over time that it gradually became instinctual. Although like Rob Gray says, there could be these action slips in a moment where you're distracted or panicked, you might revert to that old behavior. And luckily you had colleagues with you in the car.
True.
To understand the point Tom makes, all you need to do is go to YouTube and type the backwards brain bicycle. The video belongs to a channel, Smarter Every Day. I would really urge you to pause and do this now. It's a pretty cool video and profound at many levels. It has a link to the point Tom makes about how some things are deeply ingrained in us and it's so hard for us to unlearn. And I've encountered this several times in my life. Let me talk about a couple of instances. This is in the context of my desire to learn touch typing. I must have been 3 or 4 years into my work, and I used to have this deep admiration for people who could type without looking at the keyboard. Especially when it shows up in movies, like the scene in Mission Impossible where Tom is trying to figure out what is job 314. I quickly figured a couple of websites that taught touch typing, and I spent 30 minutes a day taking lessons. But truth be told, I didn't make any progress whatsoever despite doing this for a few months. Then one of my colleagues looked at me and gave me a piece of advice. He said, while you're learning for 30 minutes, the remaining 10 hours of the day, you're reverting to your old behavior. And unless you really change that, you will not make any gains. And to me, that was a simple but a profound insight. But I resisted because that would mean I would slow down tremendously and that would have an impact on my deliverables. But at some stage, I decided to take the plunge and I said, this is the only way I will type, whatever the implication. And that really, really reduced my speed, maybe by 10x initially. But within a couple of weeks, my speed started picking up, and slowly my speed was much faster than my earlier sort of clumsy way of typing. It showed me how ingrained some of these things were, and unless we really go all out, it's hard to root out some of these habits. The second context in which it showed up in my life was the context of my learning the guitar. Back in 2001, when I first moved to Bombay, I wanted to learn an instrument, and given I was learning from ground zero, I said, let me just pick the first guitar I find, and signed up. So I signed up for a teacher who was into Dandiya music, to be precise. But I didn't care. I was starting from Saregama, the equivalent of Doremi, and I must have learned from him for about 3-4 years. But then I spent a long time after that goofing around in YouTube, learning chords through the net and playing somewhat okay. About 4 years back, I wanted to resume my guitar and signed up with a teacher. A pretty rigorous one, actually. He asked me to show what I could play on the first day, and I was quite proud of the number of songs I was playing whose chords I knew. But he looked at my leg, the way I was not tapping, and noticed that I was playing and I was missing the beat in quite a few places. The first thing he said was, we need to get your feet tapping and your playing to coordinate with the foot tapping. I thought was something very simple, a bit like the cycle experiment that Tom speaks about. But this one thing, this process took several months. As a matter of fact, it's still ongoing. It's work in progress because my old habits relapse. It taught me how some of these things get ingrained, and unlearning something is often more painful than learning afresh and requires a lot of dedicated effort. I've realized that for a lot of things where we are trying to move the needle, unless we are willing to embrace the value of discomfort and inefficiency, where our performance often takes a nosedive in the short term, we end up staying in a suboptimal or a mediocre place.